Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
What's good? What's good? We are back for another live from Fayetteville Friday. Homer J. Cole, Homer Dennis Smith Jr., Homer Affion Crockett, Dennis L.A. White, Moray, two-time Super Bowl champ, Joshua Williams, and much, much more. How y'all doing tonight, fellas?
All right.
Doing good.
I don't see Rex just yet. We're going to probably just chop it up for a little bit. What's new with y'all?
Shit with me, man. Same old thing, man. About to start this, juicing next week. You know, I need to drop 15 pounds. I need to get back to 219. You know, I'm at 233 right now. I'm trying to get my health back right. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Got to get it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do a week, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do That's a week crazy. With just juicing and salad. You know what I mean? I'm going to try for a week. I can do it, though. You know what I mean? I mean, I can go without meat. So, I mean, you know, so I'm going to try that for this week and see what happens and shit.
Let me know how it goes.
You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of doubt in that comment, cuz.
Nah, I need to get my, trying to get my health thing, you know, back on.
Now, nah, me, you know, I just need to get it, like, at 219, I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm tall. So, you know what I mean? Anything under 219, I'm looking like lanky. So, you know what I mean? Like, 219 was my best weight. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm at 233 right now. You know, living good, eating good, and all that type of stuff. You know, I need to get back right. Yeah.
What about you, Mr. J? You gonna juice?
I don't know about juicing. I don't know. I don't know about, still looking at some different things. I got to go talk to my nutritionist and, you know, see what kind of plan they can get for me, you know. I got folks in my family with diabetes, so, you know, I got to keep my eye on it, you know. But other than that, man, shout out to BTS. Just got some footage done with them and their interview for the documentary. So, you know, we got a couple more people on deck. And hopefully I'll hear from a couple more people we can get on the show as well. So I just been out here just trying to wind up this documentary, trying to start up this soundtrack and try to get my pen to working again so I can try to get some other stuff done.
So right, we're about to get into it, though. We got our guest just popped up.
Okay.
Special guest tonight, originally from Lawrence, Massachusetts. This cast worked with DJ Premier, Static Selector, Buck Wild, Apollo Brown, High Tech, Alchemist, Evidence, Styles P, Little Fame. I mean, I could probably be here all night listing the artists he's worked with. He dropped a new album. It's called I'm Not Your Negro. It's him and Carlito the Kid, if I'm not mistaken. Features Sky Zoo, Sadat X, Wise Intelligent, Terminology. Let's bring him on, the one and only Rex.
Peace and love. How y'all doing?
Good. Doing all right.
Peace. I sound all right for y'all
on the big screen here. Trying to get you on the big screen, but you ain't going. All right, we're gonna go with this one. How you doing tonight, man? Good.
I'm blessed. Appreciate y'all taking the time with me.
We appreciate you coming on, man. Definitely, when you hit me up, I was like Rex Rex. I was like, oh man, I know this cat. This cat been spitting rhymes for years, man.
Word.
You've been in the game since like, you've been in the game since like 2001, right?
Yeah, 2001. I actually dropped my first vinyl release in 2000. Yeah, so long time, just about 25 years in the mix. It goes so fast, like light work.
So I'm gonna start with a couple questions here. I was listening to the album, and you got this song I really loved, man. It was my favorite, the Colorless Skies joint.
Oh, word.
Now, at the beginning of it, you had the video, you had, I don't know who that was. He said something like, the only way you live is knowing you're going to die. If you're afraid to die, then no man will live. Who was that was saying that at the beginning of that?
So in the beginning is our beloved elder in spirit, James Baldwin. And Baldwin actually is the reason behind the whole concept of the record itself. I am not your Negro. I feel like James Baldwin's a brother who should be like taught in university and in all kinds of schools. Mm-hmm. He should be lectured and taught and taught again. So for those of you who don't know who James Baldwin is, he's one that should be in the books.
Now, do you believe that statement to be true?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that to be, you know, super, super apparent. And I think Martin Luther King was another one who said that. Like, I think there's a lot of misnomers and misrepresentations of MLK because he's kind of watered down because he's so thrust upon us and thrown in our face so mm-hmm. much and forced upon us with this act of nonviolence. But he was on that mind frame very highly in, before his demise, before he left and became an ancestor. Like he was one who was starting to realize that a bit of his approach to the system's narrative was needed to be altered a bit. And I think that was the same with Malcolm. I think they were coming close to El-Hajj, Malik El-Shabazz, they were coming closer to each other. And that was the big issue that I think the world was seeing. We saw a lot of that in what happened with Fred Hampton as well. Like Fred Hampton had a mind frame at a very young age that was so elevated in knowing how to bring people together. He was a mastermind at organization. And because of that, I think like, you know, you're going to take out the individuals who start to like, you know, figure it out. And, you know, I think James Baldwin as a lecturer and as a teacher, he was on that mind frame from the beginning.
Yeah, I definitely love that quote. It stuck to me, man. You know, especially said, if you're afraid to die, then no man will live. I was like, yeah, I strongly agree with that. I got to ask, what is it like to work with Premier?
You took my question.
I mean, come on. Like, you know, that's the goal.
That's the standard. Yeah, that's the standard.
That's the gold standard. Like, I think many can be considered the gold standard. We could go back and forth about it, like, with many incredible, incredible artists. But, like, Primo, to me, he was the standard as a young kid coming up in Massachusetts. Many don't know Primo is originally from Texas. And Guru from Boston, right? So
yeah,
when you grow up in Massachusetts and you don't really have much, if you come from like little outskirts that are not like New York, are not California or Philly, you know, some of the Midwest locations, you have this tendency to like gravitate and grab on and hold on to your cultural icons who make it out of the neighborhood, and Guru was one of them. And so we hung on everything through mixtapes and through their early records that we could get our hand on, and everything that Primo touched was like just the gold standard. And so the moment I even entered the room and was able to be a fly on the wall, it was like a paradigm shift and a change, you know what I'm saying? A change for me and, you know, how I was going to pin. I think it kind of translated in the few records that I've been able to be blessed to get on from Primo. There's a different spot inside your stomach, or inside like what you're going to like deliver out of your vocal box. There's a place that you reach that you didn't even know you could attain or reach. And I think like I was able to tap into that when it was time to rock on the Primo beat. incredible.
I got one more question. I'm going to let my cast members ask a question. Do you think Massachusetts definitely gets overlooked, like the talent y'all have over there, up there?
I do, but I don't think it's any different than any location in all over the globe. Like, you know, like there's like some hidden gems all across the globe. I live these days in Atlanta, Georgia, and there's so much talent down here. You know, like underground talent. Obviously, we have like the stuff that is like kind of thrust upon us in the public eye. But like, even when I was living down in Broward County, that's in Florida, I would get into network and build with a lot of cats that are like, you know, the underground scene, like super spitters, like, you know, Last Man Standing, LMS, Saheed, Benchwarmers Click. There's so many like dope locations where individuals are like that. But in Massachusetts, I think our blades are sharp. Like, you know, we have a whole list of MCs that could go toe to toe with just about anybody, I think.
Yeah. Mr. J, you got some questions for Rex?
Yeah. You know, it's good to have you on the show, man.
Thanks, man.
It's dope to have somebody from you know, Massachusetts. I went to college in Rhode Island, so I'm kind of familiar with the area and you know, things of that nature. So I just wanted to kind of pick your brain on one of the tracks on here. De La Soul. What was the kind of the inspiration behind that?
First off, like throughout my career, I have, and first of all, what college did you go to?
I went to Johnson and Wales, Johnson and Wales University.
Okay. Oh, I got a niece that went there. Bless. All right. Word. De La Soul, like, I have a few records that I named after, like, you know, artists that I wanted to pay homage to and give flowers to. You know, De La Soul is one of those groups growing up, like the native tongue, the whole fabric of what the native tongues represented, was, a big influence on who I became as an artist. They were the witty, funner side of, like, you know, the hip hop narrative. And they were also, they were really, really introspective in a unique and playful way. And I enjoyed, you know, being able to listen to the way they approached, you know, their penmanship. And their beat selection and their unorthodox way of like spelling things and, you know, making the album covers and artwork so colorful and vibrant and taking time to be thoughtful, about how they titled records. And so, I wanted to just pay homage to that and, in a time like, that can be very like, you know, you're toeing the line and you're like, you can be out of pocket if you're not like in somebody's camp and you're given a tribute record during a period that can be tough for people. Like when Dave passed, you know, you gotta really be, you gotta be careful jumping into that. But like, my objective is pure and pure from day one. And I just hope, that's translating to the people out there, and I believe it did, because when we made the video for it, Pasta Noose actually posted it on his page, which was a big salute.
That's dope. Yeah, because I've seen them when they came to Cat's Cradle down here in North Carolina, in the Chapel Hill area, and I have a picture of my brother and myself and Plug. The Plug too. So yeah.
Dope.
As far as like your catalog, it seems like, you know, you put out constant material. It's barely like a year between like different releases. How do you stay so like focused in creating material and consistent?
I think you know, having a pulse on growing into my spirituality and disconnecting from my ego self and being more in line with, you know, topic. I've always been about topical matter coming up in a very difficult neighborhood to grow up in. you know, there was always things in my neighborhood to talk about or get involved in that could have, like, you know, drew me in. But I was also a very avid reader, and I had this thirst to, like, learn about who I am. And for the longest period of time, I had a difficulty finding knowledge of self. I was blockaded by all the different partitions and divides within my neighborhood that kind of, like, drew me in. You know, chasing females, drinking, all the vices that, like, you know, are natural tendencies of all people in all walks of life. You know, that, so a lot of that, you know, drew me in and was a distraction, but it was still able to, like, help me pen the kind of music that I was penning. I think I've been able to remain consistent in my transition period as well, because kind of like what Pac used to say is, like, you know, no matter what emotion, whatever feeling, whatever things going on, find a moment, a second to, like, kind of pin about it. So that's all, like, all personality traits, all feelings that evolve for us, sadness, happiness, you know, pain, all those things can be interwoven into a moment to write. And I'm truly a writer by nature. So it's imperative that I write at all times.
All right, we're going to see if my man Trillanoise Tracks got a couple questions for you. I know I stole one of his questions, the premiere one.
No, I'm about to expound on that question, though. But, you know, first of all, I want to ask, I mean, are you 5% or Muslim?
I'm actually Kemeti spiritualist.
You said Kemeti?
Yeah. Yeah, so my belief system is not far from, you know, what, you know, Clarence 13 was expounded upon, like, the 5% and the nations of the gods and the earth is not much different. I do study math, I do study science and sacred geometry in many ways, but I think it's closer, like I said, to the natives and studying the Shittat Nata, which is the hidden mysteries of the gods and the goddesses, you know. So everything that I do on my day to day walk, like every time, like I wake up anew, I'm waking up and I'm mastering and working with elements. I'm mastering and working with mind, body, and soul healing, and you know, conscious of what I put in body, what I put in mind, and what I put into my, or surround my spirit with, I should say. So not very different. And I think a lot of times we get lost in this concept of, you know, belief systems and what spirituality means, like what we can take from all these different belief systems. I study them all and I learn from them all and I appreciate them all. I honor Shango, like the Orisha and the and Oya, and the belief systems of Western Africa. But I also can appreciate what I can take from the Quran, which I read, the Bhagavad Gita, and many Eastern philosophies as well.
Word. You just, you know, say, you just made me feel like a sinner, you know. But anyway,
nah, beloved. Let's overstand something.
Yeah,
let's overstand something, though. For real, because we're all reflections, right? Like, yeah. We are reflections. I would be a mess. I would be in the wrong if I were to look at you as not my reflection, right? No matter what you're doing, no matter where you are in your space and time, there's not a point where I can look at you and say, you know, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm doing good, you're doing good. Like, I think all of that is that divide, that duality nonsense that, like, a lot of us get lost in. Yeah. You know, we all wake up the same. We all utilize the elements. We all utilize certain things, and we have highs and we have lows. So, I mean, even if you're making it as a joke a little bit, I think it's important for me to say to you that, because I look at you as my beloved brother, my reflection. So I think you have to, like, we have to acknowledge that even in that joking moment when you disappear from this conversation, we're no longer talking here. Like, we need to make sure that that's apparent, that I don't look at you that way.
Yeah, word. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was making a joke, but you know, and I mean, yeah, that goes back to like the songs I listen to. That's why I had to ask that, even though that wasn't one of my questions I asked you, what your faith was or what your, you know, your walk was. But, you know, now I see it, you know what I'm saying, by listening to you talk right now versus just listening to your songs, like doing my homework on songs or whatever. You know, because we know we got you coming on, so I'm listening to more and more songs. You know what I mean? So now I see, you know, that you actually believe, you know what I'm saying, like you're actually practicing what you're preaching in songs.
Absolutely.
But then, you know what I'm saying, but then I want to expound on a comment you made earlier about De La Soul. And what you said was, you know, I remember back in the day, we used to read the inserts and stuff like that. And I used to look at how they spell they song titles out and stuff like that, too. I mean, it's interesting that you said that. And that hit me right there. Because, like, you know, like the ones like, it's so easy. Like, look at how they spelled it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they was always super creative to me. And, you know, but now I want to get on, you know, even though Paul stole my question. Were you in the studio with Premier when you did that song?
So let me tell you, the first time I recorded the record, I wasn't, right? Well, I'm gonna tell you a story. Some people know this, some people don't. But this was in my lower vibration state where I was like, okay, I'm gonna get on a Primo record. I'm really get known right now. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna diss a bunch of records. I'm gonna find me all the rappers that's popping at this moment, and I'm gonna just go at them. You know, I did this record. I had all their names on the record, right?
Uh-huh.
Primo wasn't, like I said, I didn't record it with Primo. I recorded with Static. So we had the record. We're about to go. Primo was on his way to a tour in, I believe, Europe or something like that, and I was back home in Massachusetts. I get this call like super late, like 12:30, 1 a.m. I get a call. Just come back to the house for a drink or whatever. I'm laid up on my homie's like couch or whatever. It's Primo, and he's like, "Yo, fam, like you gonna have to go in the studio and change this record." And I'm like, "Why? What's up? What's up?" He's like, "Yo, you ain't earned these stripes. You can't be going at these heads." Like, you know what I'm saying? There were certain individuals I was going on that he had personal relationships with,
yeah.
You know, looking back at it and I'm like, I get it. But back then I was like, you know, I'm a change it because it's Primo and it's this or it's nothing, you know, but I was really trying to like break in. So that was a good lesson at that time. And so the next time I went in the studio, I said, all that to say I was in the studio with Primo the next time. He was on watchful eye to make sure the right lines got said. You know, it was a funny situation, but like, you know, the relationship with Primo grew off of that, and you know, he knew what it was, he knew what time I was on, and I overstood the assignment on the next record.
So you tried to do the 50 Cent on the Primo record, basically.
Oh yeah, yeah, basically.
How to Rob It, industry cat.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. It wasn't even that. It wasn't even like, you know, that it wasn't that crazy.
So
yeah, but you was dissing everybody. You called everybody.
You know, 50 did it in one shot. He had everybody.
Yeah, 50 did it different. Yeah, but who'd you call out? Who'd you call out though? I'm curious.
I came at Lil Wayne. Wayne was number one. He was first.
I mean, if you going go for the head, if you going to go.
I went at Kanye. I went at, and you know, I like Kanye, you know what I'm saying? Coming up. Like, I like Kanye, but I definitely went at him. Jay-Z, like I said a few names, you know? So I'm talking about people that I had respect. I had respect for. It didn't really, it didn't translate as, you know, it didn't translate right because I was
yeah,
like,
it didn't come off. Yeah, it came off as just probably hate and not
more and arrogance, more than anything. Ego and arrogance. Like,
I mean, but you know, 50 did the same thing though. I mean, 50, I mean, if you ain't mad at 50,
yeah, but
I mean,
but you know, my energy, see, like, again, knowledge of self is key because, not only I think the way Primo said it, as I didn't earn that stripes, but I didn't earn those stripes. But honestly, I wasn't being self. You know what I'm saying? That true, like coming from what I come from, all aside. You know what I'm saying? The neighborhood I come from, the energy I come from, all aside. That's not what was my true voice in space. I wasn't using my true voice. I think now more than ever, I'm finding my true voice. And that's why I can still do my thing.
I feel that.
I do it right now. But I think I was just like, I'm unashamed, unabashed. I was like, you know, a novice at everything. So it was all good, like in my mind.
I mean, like you said, though, that wasn't your true voice. But, you know, 50 is about that life. So 50.
It made sense for 50 and the whole brand.
If you follow 50 on Instagram, he's still taking shots at people at 27 years later.
Everything he does, man, it's him, and
that's why it's authentic and funny. I mean, 50 is 50.
So I
get what you're saying. Like, you know, you probably thought you needed come at niggas' heads. You know what I'm saying? But like,
just following the trend. Following what the trends do and the system does. And nowadays, I like to color outside the lines. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is dropping so much influx of music when everybody else is saying, you know, you need to do the singles and follow the DSPs a certain way. I don't even do all that. I'm flooding it.
That's the problem now.
Flooding it.
Everybody's following. You don't say that's why music sound the same now, but you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I couldn't imagine you doing that from the music I listen to. I mean, I haven't listened to everything. I ain't gonna front. You know what I'm saying? But like the 20 or 30s, I mean, I couldn't imagine you coming at somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like coming off with one of those tracks like that. So it's a good thing. Yeah, good thing Premier shut that down.
No, it's absolutely a good thing. And I can have joy in being who I truly am, you know. I mean, and I could still be a dartsmith without even having to, like, you know, come at that, approach it in that level. You know, there's many dartsmiths, like, you know, like a common who don't have to be there, even though, like, you know, if I gotta have the clip set aside and, you know what I'm saying, you know, common has something to say to Cube that don't get it twisted. I'm from the shot. This is who I am at the end of the day. But like, yo, I don't got, like, I can create the narrative in peace.
And yeah, in peace. Yeah, he did.
Of who I am, like, who I am is, I should be coming in peace, because that's truly who I am.
And that's a beef that has not have been recognized either. The Common and Q beef.
Ooh, man.
You know what I mean? Because who's the most gangster? So-called gangster rapper today coming at J. Cole or something like that. You know what I mean? You know, J. Cole's about peace, so you put J. Cole as common. I mean, that would be like, how would that work today?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, nobody thought Common would snap back, and he came back. And
I can tell you how it worked.
And to me, his was better than Cube's. I hate to say it.
I can tell you how it worked. The gangster rapper get crushed by J. Cole. Game over.
And we don't want to talk about that. I mean, I ain't heard the Kendrick thing that's going on right now.
We'll get into that.
I was curious. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. I haven't heard it. My timeline been flooded today with that. I haven't heard it yet. You know what I'm saying? I've been at work, but you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna check it out later. But other than that, I mean, you know what I mean? Like I said, I've probably listened to between yesterday and today. You know what I mean? And plus, we've been reviewing your songs. I didn't even know it.
Look,
Paul was like, we got Rex on the show. I was like, won't he on the show? You know what I'm saying? But we've been, you know what I'm saying, reviewing your songs.
Doing the reviews, right.
So now you know it's authentic. So, you know what I mean? But, I mean, all I can say is, man, I mean, I loved it. You know what I mean? I'm an old head. I'm a boom bap dude. So,
word.
I'm feeling everything that you do. So it might be biased. If Paul keep playing one of your songs on Saturday,
I will say this. I think you guys got a unique, show, a unique approach, and something that's missing with the art form. And anything I can do to support it, I'm going to. Quite honestly, my wife and I, we sat in and we watched the show for the first time. And we loved the way it was. We were able to hear some new artists. Like, we saw you
with
a bunch of artists, and we thought that was really dope. So we do appreciate it, and definitely say thank you and keep going with it. Yeah.
Well, thank you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? I need more stuff like that to put in my playlist.
You already know. Yeah. I don't know if y'all know, but I dropped one today.
On YouTube?
No, I dropped a whole project today.
I mean, I don't mess with all the streaming.
I'm just letting you know, like, I dropped a whole brand new one. So, like, I'm gonna send that through for y'all to, like, take a listen
okay.
to.
Okay. Yeah.
A whole new one. Like, 8 new songs. Yeah.
So, and you just dropped another one a week ago, right?
That's right. I am not your Negro dropped last week. Last week. Okay. I dropped another one today. And I'm dropping another one next week.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's what's up.
Yeah, Paul just sent me that. Paul sent me that I'm not a Negro the other day, like while I was at work. No, like, let me check this out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's dope. You know what I mean? For real.
I'm gonna shoot the video with the joint with Sky Zoo. We're gonna shoot a video for that. Sky's down here in Georgia too. So we're gonna shoot that video where we got a bunch of shows coming up together. I got some like cool stuff like coming out. You know, I definitely wanna do, you know, more of the stuff where I'm working with artists. Evidence and Alchemist and individuals like that, but I also enjoy like doing records with cats that people don't really know, like Carlito the Kid. On this record, he has incredible beats, deserves some shine. He's out in Montreal, Quebec, and then I like the one I dropped today is with a producer by the name of SAF out of Switzerland. Super dope, again, really dope record.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? That means we got to hook up. You know what I mean? We exchange information.
We got a lot more music to review.
Do that. Take my information down.
Yeah, Paul, get it.
We get to work.
Hey, you know I gotta get a feature in myself now.
Let's go, man. I'm always ready to cook. Let's get it.
I'm on the waiting list for this MPC. I'm sitting here like waiting on Christmas.
Do you have any shows coming in to the Carolina area? We're talking about doing tours
or DC shows.
In North Carolina, I'm going to be in North Carolina, I believe, the 18th with Sky Zoo, I believe, on the 18th of April. That's a show that's, I believe, you know, still the kinks being worked out, but I believe I'm there. I'm not in DC anytime soon, but I'm working on a tour for September that's going to be like more of the East Coast. I haven't performed in DC before. I haven't performed in Charlotte or Raleigh-Durham. So like my objective is to be out there. South Carolina, I've never been done anything out there. I'll be performing in the Charlotte area.
Okay. As far as the DC area, man, we got a place up here called the Hip Hop Museum and the Hip Hop Shop. Okay, the Hip Hop Museum and the Hip Hop Shop, they're both in different places. But you know, the Hip Hop Shop, I mean, you go on Instagram, follow the Hip Hop Museum, but the Hip Hop Museum you'll say is actually called the Hip Hop Shop in DC. I mean, they be having all the old school rappers come through. I mean, Method Man be down there. I mean, it just be, I mean, just check it out though. I mean, you might want to hit them up. You know what I mean? Because,
word.
I mean, they just have like, you know, people do pop-up shows. I mean, they just be having pop-up. It's nothing planned or nothing. Like, you have to be down there and have to come there that one day. And it just might be, you know what I mean? It might be the RZA. It might be, you know what I'm saying? It might word. Be KRS-One or anything. Like, I mean, you know, so check out the Hip Hop Museum on Facebook.
I'm going to write that down, actually.
Yeah, the Hip Hop Museum.
Sure
yeah,
hip, out there.
Yeah, Hip Hop Museum on Instagram. Check them out.
Where I'm gonna be on that.
I mean, I went down there, you know what I'm saying? I met the owners and all that. They real cool. You know what I mean? I got some footage of it on my Facebook and my Instagram, but you know, but it's really cool, man. I mean, it's in DC. I mean, it's just it's the truth in there. So you might want to check them out. You know what I mean?
I'm definitely working on you know, getting to the show stuff. I'm gonna be back in Europe in May. And then, like I said, in the end of the summer, going into the fall, that's when I'm going to do more state stuff. We're working on Africa right now and a Canada run. So the East Coast for sure. It's been a while since I've been on the West Coast. I got to definitely go do that again. But the objective is definitely to hit the road.
Yeah. One more question. I don't want to hold you up, but.
Oh, it's love.
You know what I'm saying? As far as the Europe thing, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I grew up in Germany. Mm-hmm. So, can you speak Deutsch? No, speak Deutsch, no. Okay. You know what I'm saying? A little bit, you know what I mean? But nah. but you know what I'm saying? Like, growing up over there, you know what I mean? Like, and one thing I know about Europe is, and I want you to tell the rest of the world, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we ain't worldwide, but, you know, tell the rest of the world. But, you know what I'm saying? But, like, explain to people, I mean, I'll be having conversations with people, explain to them how much hip hop means to them, which should make us ashamed of being the originators of hip hop in the United States and how they receive it over there. Like, cause you know, I mean, Lords of the Underground for one, you know what I'm saying? That's the only ones I know sort of personally. Man, they be touring all the time over there.
They literally just got back. My homie John Jiggs and Rock Wells was just out there with Lords of the Underground this past week. And they were doing sold out shows. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, over here, they couldn't sell out a Burger King. That's a shame to me.
They could though. You know,
it's a shame to me though. It's a shame to me.
You're absolutely right. You're not wrong. It's crazy. And I think there's been a shift though, a little bit. In today's Europe, there's a lot of places that are becoming a lot like the U.S., and the U.S. is responsible for this toxic environment that occurs. Yep. Absolutely responsible for it, because we get so we normalize, throwing away and not giving flowers to those who came before us in hip hop. And it's an unfortunate thing because it's only in hip hop. You know, it's only in hip hop where you discard and you are disrespectful to those who came before you. When
put a time limit on them.
In other genres, they revere and these young ones, they like out there rocking like Bruce Springsteen t-shirts and they're rocking like Rolling Stones t-shirts.
Metallica.
They give super homage to like, you know, the ones who came before. I think a bit of that respect for the elder statesmen is coming back. It's coming to hip hop. And I think it's more so because it was an infant, very aggressive, very battle-driven culture, which is embedded in the neighborhood. It's embedded in the culture and fabric of the streets. So, you know, in the streets, we did the dozens. We grew up normalizing going at one another rather than loving one another and respecting one another in a way that we can appreciate the elder statesman. Like in our culture, it's supposed to be that when somebody becomes an elder, like, yo, you revere them and you're like, yo,
yeah,
this person is where we're going to get that jewelry, where we're going to get the gems from. So yeah, in Europe, in many ways, they like, yo, the respect for a Rakim, the respect for Bahamadia, the respect for like, you know, Lords of the Underground and individuals like that is so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word. You know what I'm saying? I just got a text from the executive producer saying, you know, we still got topics. I'm calling you out. You know what I mean? I keep it like this for the whole hour or whatever, you know what I mean? But, you know, we still got topics, you know. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, your information, you know, send it to Paul, have Paul send me your information, you know what I mean? So,
for sure. For
yeah.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Man, we have a project come out soon. Yeah.
Anybody want to shout out before we go, though?
First and foremost, my queen, she leads, I follow. Like, you know, I got to shout out my queen for like holding me down. And like, a lot of us need to remember and respect and learn to follow the leadership of the ones that, you know, hold us down in a manner, and they play the forefront even when they in the back, even when they're at the side, you know, whatever. Like my wife, she holds me down. She's my hype man, literally on stage. She's my hype man. She did a bunch of my newer videos. Go check those out. She did a bunch of those. Queen_philosophical on Instagram. She's chefing up for us right now. Not to say that's what she does, but I chef up as well. We do that for one another. So I got to shout her out. I got to shout out my children because I'm appreciative of everything that they represent and all they're doing. My young queen, my two young kings, doing their thing. And to everybody in my village, my inner circle, like who I consider allies, not just friends, but like those individuals who have stood by me through my transitional period and find itself. I'm thankful to everybody who has liked, shared, commented, told somebody about what I'm doing right now, the transition that I'm in. And I want to thank y'all for taking the time with me.
We appreciate it. We're going to continue telling people about Rex, man, you know.
Well, like I said, man, you know what I'm saying? I was a fan before tonight, but now, you know what I'm saying? You got a lifelong fan right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, appreciate it. Appreciate it, beloved. Let's build. Let's build pyramids for real, fam. Like, you know, I'm one of those dudes who a lot of cats, they're like, they'll tell you, yo, let's yap later. Like, you get my math, we build, we really truly going to build pyramids. For real.
Word.
Indeed.
Jasmine, Devarer, love your women.
Yeah, yo, get to it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Before we go, though, first topic we got. Who's your number one punchline rapper?
Punchline rapper?
Yeah.
I mean, Big L's undefeated.
I'm getting off.
Like, what are we even talking about? Like, Big L's here, and everybody else is like very minuscule.
Man, punchline? Paul done stole my first question. Now you done stole.
Come on.
I got a
question, Big L.
Hey, look, I swear to God, dog. I swear to my mama.
Yeah,
now
Big L is the one.
Dog, I swear on my mama, man, for real. Right now, the only homework I done. Can y'all see that? I mean, I don't know if y'all can see it.
That's dope.
That's it. Yeah. What's that say right there?
Can you see it? Big L. That's Big L, of course. Man. Like, no, but that's because Big L is here and everybody else just is a. It's
come on, man. This stole my whole. I was waiting on that. I was waiting on that question. I was waiting on that,
but it doesn't look like as much.
God,
Big L and everybody else is beneath.
I'm finna go see.
Yeah, like everybody else is dope. Like everybody else is dope, but if we're just talking about punchlines,
ain't nobody done it like Big L. Nobody.
Nobody.
The punchline. Come on, man. Go back. I mean,
and it was just seamless. It was too easy for Big L.
God, man, just you know what I'm saying, man, Paul.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm gonna mute my microphone. I'm gonna just be here.
Yeah. Rex, appreciate you coming on, man. You can come on anytime you want. Send us a music review. We review music every Saturday. You can send us a song every Saturday if you want. We'll review it, man.
Appreciate you. We'll be talking soon. Bless up. Y'all have a beautiful night.
You too.
You too, man.
Peace out, bro.
Peace.
What's up?
Nothing now for me. I'm just here.
Oh, so you ain't got nothing to say, right?
You stole my question.
All right, what's number two? What's number two then?
He stole my answer. See, like, damn.
Well, I'm just here. Who's the runner-up? Who's the runner-up of the GOAT punchline rappers?
That's all I had. That's it.
Big L was at the top of my list, too.
Ain't no runner-up.
I had five names on the list.
Man, I only had one, Big L.
I had the top five punchline rappers according to Cassidy, and I took one of the cats that Cassidy named on the list out and put Cassidy in there.
Nah.
So he got Big L, Lord Finesse, Cannabis, and Kool G Rap.
You know what? I was going to say Cannabis.
I mean,
I thought of Cannabis. I wasn't going to say him, but you know, all I came up was Big L. But I did think of Cannabis, though.
That's all he does is punchlines, really.
And that's why, I mean, you know.
Who'd you have, Jay? You had Big L?
He had punchlines that didn't make no sense, though.
Well, I didn't put Big L on the list because I figured he was in a category by itself.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like when people talk about, you know, the greatest of all time, Big and Pop, you know what I'm saying? They're both in a category by itself when you're talking about certain things. So I had Lloyd Banks. Cassidy.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was a good one. Lloyd Banks.
Chino XL.
Who's on the list?
Chino XL. Ludacris. Ooh. And Kool G Rap.
Okay. That's a good list. But Lloyd Banks tops that list, even though Lloyd Banks, to me, got his style from Fabulous. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm surprised we didn't bring up Fabulous. Shame on us. You know what I'm saying? What your boy say the other week?
Yeah. Stranger the Great said 90s cannabis metaphors was ridiculous.
Shame on us. Hey, matter of fact,
Lord Finesse inspires whole punchline style. He said Lord Finesse inspires L's whole punchline style.
Matter of fact, I use Lord Finesse.
People didn't say that. Big L was like the baby Lord Finesse.
I mean, he from D.I. I mean, come on. I mean, he learned from him. So, I mean, what do you mean? Who else he going to get it from? I mean, you can't fault him for taking over that style. I mean, he perfected it, though. You know what I mean? No diss to Lord Finesse, but, you know. You know what I mean?
We always got to talk about who came before and where he might have got it from.
Yeah, yeah. We got to talk about it. But, you know what I mean? When somebody does it better and perfects it and takes it to the next level, you know what I mean? You can't diss them for, you know what I'm saying? You can't just come out later and be like, oh, you got that from them. You know what I mean? Especially when he was from DITC, so you can't say, oh, you stole that from him or whatever. But, you know, I can see if, like, another MC that wasn't with DITC started, you know what I'm saying, trying to expound on that type of style. That's a different thing. But, you know,
Lord Finesse say he ain't stole it, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody says nothing bad about Big L.
Nah.
That's taboo in hip-hop.
I mean, nothing bad to say.
I mean, yeah, there ain't nothing bad to say, but if you do, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's taboo.
So we don't got nothing else to say about the GOAT punchline rapper, Big L.
We got to throw Fabulous in there. We got to throw Fabulous, because to me,
everybody else is just like,
to me, Lloyd Banks is Fabulous reincarnated, though. You know
I just
mean?
Wish
Fabulous,
his voice was clearer.
Fabulous got no punchlines.
I just wish Lloyd Banks' voice was clearer.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That his only downfall was his voice and his charisma.
It was hard to say he even had charisma because his whole style was almost too laid back. That was his problem. Like his albums were just too laid back. Like he was just
there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, at that time in hip hop, that laid back shit was just not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you had to have more energy.
You know what I'm saying? At that time, I mean, he was spitting. He was spitting some bars. You know what I mean? And he had punchlines for days, but that cadence was not, you know what I'm saying? That cadence was like passe, you know what I'm saying, by the time he came out, especially coming from G-Unit. You know what I mean? Come on, dog. Even Tony Ayo had some charisma. You know what I'm saying? He won't say a fucking thing, but you know what I'm saying? Like... You know what I'm saying? But
Yayo just had more energy.
Yeah, I think his album did better than his.
Yayo did have more energy. Well, nah, Lloyd Banks did better on the sales, but Tony Yayo went gold. I mean, the production was pretty dope on Tony Yayo's album.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Beat picking.
You got 50 picking all your beats, probably. And
yeah, and probably. Yeah, everybody know Yayo is 50's bitch.
All right, before we get into the last three topics, we're going to get to a quick chip food drizzle break.
Tropical drink. Me and my team are never been link up. They're gonna be drink up. We sit down and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the bars when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink up. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting list, another waiting for that tropical twist. That'll take your taste buds. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
I really mean it. You can Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. If you want to order a very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur, go to DizzleBrand.com and be on the lookout for the new Dizzle brand cans we got coming with four new recipes. And it is a black-owned business as well.
Gotta give me some of that Dizzle.
For shizzle.
Send me a bottle. All
right, so we got shouts out to Mutate God. I didn't get no text from him, I don't think. I don't know. He might have had something come up. So what do we got left? We got OC and Lord Finesse, Tiny Desk. Did you watch it? Who watched it? I watched it.
I mean, it was 5 years ago, though.
Is it old?
Yeah, it's old. That shit was five years ago.
That's new, ain't it?
I've been watching Tiny Desk. I'm right down the street from Tiny Desk. You know what I mean? The thing about Tiny Desk is you can go there, you know what I'm saying? You can do a tour, and they always have a show, but you don't know who's going to be there. So you can luck up and be there for the right one. You know what I mean? Like, I keep telling myself, I said, I'm going to just go there every weekend and just hopefully I'll luck up, you know what I'm saying, and get the right show with the right person I want to see.
Wait, so that one is 5 years old?
Yeah, that's 5 years old.
Mr. J,
yeah.
I thought this was a new topic.
Man, the, no,
I thought it was new. I thought it was new video.
Nah, Justin Timberlake is the newest one, and that was dope. That was like 7 days ago.
I didn't catch something.
Yeah. That Lord Finesse one. That was 5 years ago.
That shit was dope, though.
Yeah. Oh, it was still dope. I mean, yeah, it was still dope.
When they did that song One Day,
it was still dope, though. You know what I mean? I'm an OC fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in my playlist. Like, so I mean, yeah, I'm an OC fan. It was dope, though.
Speaking of which, Scarface at the Ritz is going to be there doing his Tiny Desk tour. You know what I'm saying? At the Ritz, April.
They doing tours 13th. And all that.
Well, he did.
I mean, he did. I mean, because that right there was
phenomenal.
One, I mean, the best one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he need to stick with that.
I'm gonna be about to be in the building with that one. Got to see that.
Stranger the Great said that Tiny Desk is old.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I knew. I've been seeing it. I mean, I didn't want to, you know, in the group chat. I wanted to be like, you know, why are we talking about old topics? Like, you know, we should have been.
Why
talking
nobody
about
said nothing? Why? No, why you didn't say that?
I mean, I thought you was trying to keep it.
I didn't know.
Like hip hop. I mean, I'd rather talk about the Justin Timberlake one.
No,
I mean,
it's all good. We keep it in hip hop. So we can talk about it. Yeah. We just talked about the rap. We just talked about the punchline rappers. So.
I mean, but that Justin Timberlake one was dope. And it's new. It's only like seven.
I like five of them shits anyways, man. I think they're all dope.
I mean, man, the best one to me is I hate to say it, my favorite Tiny Desk is damn, what's his name? What was that black dude? What's that dude? You don't say. What's, you know, he went on. Well, yeah.
That really helps. What's that black? Oh, right. That really helps.
Right. Sound kind of racist, huh? You know. What I'm saying?
How tall is he? How short is he? What is his height?
Showing my Republican side.
What song did he sing?
You know all black people are tall. let me keep it racist. But anyway, nah. What's his name? Tyler the Creator. Go back and watch that one.
Oh, really? All right, got to check that one out.
And Mac Miller. His was dope. I mean, those are my top two. Tyler, the Creator, Mac Miller. And, damn, who was the other one? I mean, you know, say if you want to learn some shit, man, the Sheik. Go back and watch the Sheik one. Sheik. What's the dude's name? You know what I'm saying? The producer from Sheik.
Now Rogers.
Yeah, Now Rogers. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know he did the Soul Glow. You know, on Coming to America? The Soul Glow, that was him. I mean, he did that and produced that. Like, I mean, man, that Tiny Desk, I mean, dog, that's a bucket list. And the shame, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a shame that I'm right down the street from it. I can go any day. But, you know, like I said, you know what I'm saying? You can go there. You can pay, like, do a tour to NPR studios and stuff like that. And they have a concert. The only thing is, it ain't like they advertise it. Like, it just be a surprise. Like, you know, so that's why whenever you watch it, you can tell that, you know what I'm saying, most of the audience is just some white people, some white visitors or whatever, just coming through, want to tour NPR, and they just happen to get a show with Jeezy or somebody, you know what I'm saying, like, and they don't know the words to it or whatever, but yeah.
I didn't like the Jeezy one too well.
I'm definitely going, I mean, like, matter of fact, I might go tomorrow, man.
Shouts out to Stranger the Great. He said Fred the Godson. That was another punchline rapper we didn't name.
Yeah, Fred the Godson. Rest in peace to Fred the Godson.
He died during COVID.
But
all right, let's get to the next topic. I don't know if y'all watched the video. I sent the video over. Joe Budden exposes music industry and labels. He says all of them are broke. Mr. J, I'm gonna start with you.
Well, here's the thing. You know, people should understand the history or the way that the music business works. That's probably the only business that operates the majority of the time in the red. When people get it in advance, that's a loan. They got to get that money back. So the only time that the labels get paid is on the, those sales. That's why they started the 360 deal. So they wanted to be able to have their hands in everything. So they got all the dollars back, not just in recoupment from, you know, sales of an album. The only other business that operates a majority time in the red, but at least they have a larger time in the black, is movies. But, you know, okay, they still have, they have a summer, they have a summer blockbuster season where they recoup a major part of that, that money that they put out back. But, you know, labels can't depend on that. They don't have a you know, summer blockbuster season when it comes to what albums are coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have, they don't have a summer, a winter blockbuster season, you know, or whatever. So they've been operating that way forever. And they've been taking away from artists and trying to juice artists since they started. The situation's never been, you know, artist friendly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't claim to know a lot about none of that stuff, but what I do know is I don't think the record labels are broke. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to give you their fucking money though. So, you know what I mean? They not broke. You know what I mean? Like, they done made so much money off the patch, like you said, with 360 deals and, like, you know, like, shoot, I want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get a piece off of everything you do. I mean, it wasn't like that. Like, I mean, everybody knew. The one thing I do know is that everybody made money off shows. Like, you know what I'm saying? The shows was your really only guaranteed money and your ASCAP, you know what I'm saying, BMI and, you know what I mean, the stuff like that. But now when they came out of that 360 deal, they want a piece of everything from a t-shirt you sell to a feature you do. You know what I mean? Your show money too, like, you know, so I mean
advertising dollars.
I mean, yeah, I mean everything. Like, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, and then like, I mean, how much more you want? Then they went to the streaming shit where they really raping people with streaming. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm not well versed or educated on that, but from what I see, well,
what Joe Budden's was saying is they're not making money off of the music like they used to, and I agree with this. Now, because
yeah,
we talk,
I mean, yeah, I mean, no, hold on.
Paying out is peanuts. It's paying out peanuts, dude.
But I mean, are you saying that he said the music companies ain't making money, or the artists ain't making money?
Major label artists.
Yeah. The artists are not making money. Yeah. Of course, I can believe. Yeah, that's the truth. Who's making money off streaming?
He's saying they're only making their money off of other things outside of music.
And the way them 360 deals is going, I mean, what you got
to
do?
Shout out to Too Raw.
I mean, I don't know what you got to do outside of music when they, you know what I'm saying? Most of the time, they own the likeness to your name. I mean, and that's why you see people like 50 Cent. He can't call himself just 50 Cent. As a, you know what I'm saying? He has to put Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, they be owning the rights to your fucking name. You know what I mean? It goes deep. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what are they doing outside of music to make some money. Drake ain't acting.
Sponsorships, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah, advertising money. Yeah. Music placement inside of movies.
Monetization of the social media accounts.
I mean, but you said inside of movies. I mean, even with inside of movies, that breakdown is real small. You got to break down the label.
Yeah, with some movie, you know, actors get paid $50 million up front, though. You got a cat like Rock getting $50 million up front.
I know, but no.
$50 million up front.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, he's talking about like song placements and movies.
He was comparing it to the movie, saying that they got so much money invested into the movie that they don't recoup it till after it drops. You know what I'm saying? And they start seeing ticket sales back. And
I mean, my thing is,
this is the same way you invest. You know, advanced into this artist, and you don't get nothing back till you hit that advance and some.
I know, but back to what he was saying. I mean, he was saying like they can like song placements in movies, but if you're in a 360 deal, you're still not making no money. I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, trust me, though. You know what I mean? I go to work all day, I come home. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. So I'm not versed in none of this.
I go through certain companies. They may have certain placements, placement possibilities. Sometimes they have placements up to 25,000, 50,000, depending on the movie, depending on what's going on. But like you said, it's depending on the cut that the label gets from that. You may not make any money from that. You may make a little bit from that.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, what do you have to do outside of music? If the label got you in a 360 deal, so if you can only make some money outside of music, ain't none of these niggas doing nothing outside of music. I mean, I ain't seen none of these rappers in no movies.
That's why there's only like seven dudes, even Drake, the Travis Scott, the Drake, the J. Cole, Kendrick.
As many streams as he getting, he got to be making some money. But according to the shit, he
getting 50 million on one tour. Drake is.
Yeah, tour. Yeah, but see, I don't think Drake's in the 360 though.
We don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah,
I mean,
ain't nobody gonna say nothing. They gonna be like, "Oh, I'm in a partnership." You know what I'm saying? That's a new term. I'm in a partnership with somebody. Like, nah.
Even with that, you know what I'm saying? You may get your music into some of the advertisements of like beer commercials, or you may have an actual sponsorship with a beer commercial. They get part of that too. So, you know, like I said, it depends on the split. And it only makes sense if the split is right to do some kind of 360 deal where you can spin off and get all these different opportunities.
My thing is, I mean, it's 2024. Why sign to somebody anyway? Let me ask you this.
Why would record labels fire 40% of their staff if they're just making?
It's all about money, man. They can make more money. You know what I'm saying? I bet you that 40% was working from home now.
They're not making more money, or think about it. They just now, Universal Music Group removed their music off of TikTok, all their catalog. You think that ain't hitting some pockets?
Whose pockets?
Artist.
I mean, if an artist ain't getting but zero. I'm just saying, just think about it though. If the streaming services ain't paying nobody nothing, I mean, what type of money are you gonna lose from
TikTok? Is not all about streaming dollars though. TikTok is also about a place to break artists. If you can't think about this, are you breaking artists on Spotify? No. So you take away TikTok, that's one of the only platforms that you really break an artist at, man. That hits the pockets regardless if you can't break the record.
I don't know. I mean, all this above my pay grade. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't think it makes a difference, because if you're not making money off Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, and whatever else is out there. I mean,
that's the thing. Who's TikTok making a lot off of that?
I mean, TikTok.
Think about it.
If a million bitches do a goddamn TikTok dance off one of your goddamn songs, I don't think that's translating to money.
If you know how to sell yourself right, sell your brand, sell your products right, it can. If a million people dancing into your record on TikTok, yeah, that should translate to fucking money.
I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't know.
I should be able to go on tour if a million people are dancing to my fucking record on TikTok.
I mean, but that's only a million, though. I mean, there's...
You don't get it, though. Like, it's different than a million people liking your record or just comment. We're talking about a million people dancing to your record and creating content. I mean, creating content on their own.
It's about, 8-9 billion people on Earth, though. I mean, a million people don't really translate to...
You don't... Man, I know people that got 10,000 fans making 100,000 or more a year off of music. What can you, if you can't do more with a million?
I'm just saying, I mean.
I know Heavy Metal Chick. Got 10,000 fans and can make well over about 100,000, 150, 200,000 a year off of digital downloads and physical sales and merchandise sales. And she don't even tour.
I don't know.
I know. It's all about can you sell? You don't need a shit ton of, if you got a million people, man, I mean, 10% of those easily should be buying your shit.
Should be.
Well, the rule is it's usually a 2-3% rule. So if you even get 2-3% buying the shit out of a million, I mean, you're good to go, yo. You're good to go.
I mean, if you get them buying, yeah. But like I said, you know, I don't know too much about that, so you know, I don't want to speak too much on that.
I mean, and to your point,
Drew Ross says real fans get you paid.
And yeah, to your point, yeah. it's eight, nine billion people in the world. You should be.
Yeah,
able
I mean,
to
I'm saying, yeah, touch, real fans.
You can't get them all. You can't get them all to buy it.
I mean, I mean,
you should be able to. You should be able to touch a third, even a 300.
If you got a million fans that really buy into your shit every time you drop it, you fucking eating cake with the cherry on the top.
Yeah, I mean, but how many of them do though? I mean, you hear people like, I mean, matter of fact, like even one of Joe Budden podcasts, it was one episode, he was talking to Flip about how fan streams and clicks and likes translate. Like, it don't really translate out. You know what I mean? To dollars.
It depends.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're one of these cats.
It's too many depends and too many ifs and ats. Like, you know,
if you're independent like Russ, where everything's organic,
It's all
icing on the cake, cherry on the top every time you eat. But these mainstream, we're talking about mainstream artists right now. Major label artists, and half of their shit is fake.
If we're talking about mainstream,
you can blame that on the label.
Yeah.
So that's when the touring dollars be down, the merchandise dollars be down, everything, the dollars don't translate because half of your streams be fake.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, you know what I mean? All this is above my pay grade. I don't pay attention to half that type
of
shit.
Above none of our pay grades.
Yeah, you know I mean, like, you know, but I mean, I just don't understand it. I mean, to me, none of it makes no sense. Like, you can't make me understand it. Like, I mean, come on. I mean, how is a stream? Like, I mean, we've all seen articles where they talk about such and such got like 5 million streams and only got like what? $4,000? Like, come on, dog.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. They're paying out.
Nah, that don't make no sense, though. That don't make no sense.
Yeah, point zero zero three.
Yeah, I mean,
how you break down a penny? I done said that before. How the fuck you break down a penny? How? Hey. I mean, I would never understand, and I don't want to understand. So, next topic,
that's
what's up?
That's how corporations do.
This next topic kind of stays on to that. The next topic.
You talking about the Congress? Yeah.
New House bill aims to raise streaming royalties for artists. And
it was
trying
all
to go up to a penny a stream.
But it was still bullshit. Did you
and
read all of it?
That's
though?
Still too low.
Did you still read through all of it though?
It's bullshit.
So well, you know what I'm saying? But they want the streaming companies to set aside 50% of every paid subscription to pay for that.
No, that ain't what they said. They're trying to increase the subscriptions by 50%.
But they still want the services to put, you know what I'm saying, 50% of that.
They're recommending them to increase the prices of your streaming service.
50%. And then they said any artist that they're gonna put a cap on 1 million streams and they don't want to spread it across other, ain't nobody going for that, dog. Come on, dog. You're talking about artists. So what they said was anybody that gets 1 million streams, they're going to put a cap on that. Anything above 1 million streams that one artist gets, they want to spread it out between all the other artists on the streaming service. Read it.
Well,
ain't nobody going
to be already talking about,
man, okay, first,
aside,
okay,
put money aside to just your royalties man. Aside to whack up across artists they deem
first
legit.
Of all, okay, who came up with this bill? Was it a Democrat or a Republican?
It's Democrats.
Exactly, because you know everybody thinks that anybody in the entertainment or the music business is automatically a Democrat, right? You know what I'm saying? A liberal. You know what I mean? Like that right there is just some little liberal fucking type of shit they're trying to throw out there when it's not going to work.
It's
do
a
you think? I mean, first of all, do you think they're going to give up more money and then set aside 50% of every paid subscriber's money to distribute out to you? And then on top of that, any artist that streams over a million views has to split their profits with everybody else? Come on, dog. That shit ain't
Let me ask you this part.
Is had it been a Democrat.
Let me ask you this, though. Is everybody subscribed willing to pay 50% more for their streaming services?
Nah, you know what I'm saying? I done cut all my shits off, man. You know what I'm saying? Fuck all this shit. Trust me. I mean, all I got is YouTube Premium. Fuck all the other streaming shit. You know what I'm saying? I can pick and choose what I want.
Mr. J, chime in, man. So we don't go back and forth all night on this one.
Look, here's the deal. I mean, we go back and forth on what party screwed up with this, that. At a certain point, you got to try to set the system right, because these streaming services aren't paying out what they should be paying out. I mean, they really need to have people really look into the books. But when anybody, regardless of what side of the aisle they on, makes some of these laws, they don't seem to drill down on the specifics and make sure that everything's accounted for. You got lawyers these companies pay. You got, you know, silos of you know, hardwired machinery that's keeping all these things going that they're paying for. We need to drill down on all the numbers so it works out. The math works out for everybody. And that's one thing that doesn't seem to be happening. Now, on its face, yeah, it seems like a good deal for artists to have at least have a penny per stream or whatever, because who knows how many streams in a day some artists may have. But other than that, I mean,
it was a good soundbite. But what I'm saying is, they specifically said that any artist that gets over a million streams, they're going to put a cap on that million and distribute the money over those million streams to every other artist. Man, who's going to go for that?
They've been talking about it. They got this.
Okay, I'm just saying, but I mean,
$1 million fund they talk about, and they putting it to the artists they call legit. They're using terms like hobby artists and legit artists.
Well, how can you distinguish between that? It's all bullshit.
It is, because anybody.
Because first of all,
offended by hobby artists.
First of all, artists are already complaining that we're not getting paid for streams, and then you're going to tell me if I cap at a million, I got to pay the next nigga that ain't getting a million? Come on, dog, man.
But who's this really going to benefit?
Nobody. You know, saying? First of all, it's not for the past. It's not for the past.
Let me tell you, it's going to benefit. All those people that bought those catalogs. Guess what? What's about to happen to their money if they pass through this bill? What's going to happen to it? It's going to double.
It's going to double. For one, I mean, it's not going to go through.
Just ride with me. If it goes through, right, their money would double, because they're talking about a penny a stream. Spotify is only paying out like $4 and some change per 1,000 streams, right?
So if it goes to a penny, how much would that be?
So a penny a stream would be $1 per 100 plays, right? So that'd be $10 per 1,000. So that doubles and another 200% increase. So they'll double their money and another 200% increase on top of that for the people that own the catalogs, that they bought all those old school catalogs, like Elton John's catalog and whatever. Their money's going to instantly double.
Of course, yeah.
But then think about it. Who's not making money in all this? They make money, but they don't make a profit as a business. Spotify. The CEOs, they living rich, but Spotify is like the WNBA. They're not making no money, man.
You sure?
I'm sure. They're not making no money.
I mean, how are they not making money when they...
They're not making a profit, man. 66% of their profit goes to three major labels. What business can operate off a 33% profit margin? They still paying out Joe Rogan, $500 million, all these other podcasters.
I mean, but to me, like, if you
can
throw
pay out the independent artists,
if you can throw somebody $500 million, definitely is not hurting
your
body.
Not making, like, the CEOs.
So they have to be making money.
Business is just getting by, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know enough to speak on none of this. I mean, to me, it just seems one-sided. It seems one-sided.
So if they start doubling, they got to double out their payouts. What's going to happen to the unsigned artists? They getting fucked. Watch.
But back to that bill, though, that's why that bill is not going to fly. Because according to that bill, anybody that makes a million streams, they cap you out. And anything over that, anything over your million streams, you got to split it with those that don't have a million streams. So either way it goes, it's not fair. I mean, did you read it? Did you see that part?
Well,
did you expect any bill from that side to be fair?
I mean, ain't no bill.
I'll put it this way. Ain't no bill from no side fair. Facts.
Yeah, for one. And then to me, you know what I'm saying? That right there was just trying to cater to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah, who are they trying to cater to? Who are they trying to cater to?
No, I mean, because you already know that.
Well, they really were trying to do it for the working artists.
I mean, they
were artists who were just.
But everybody considers any musician and any movie star or any celebrity to be. No. Automatically a liberal. Automatically a Democrat. That's why I asked you what party made that bill up. You said the Democrat. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, but, you know, said that's just some little political shit to try to sway votes for, you know what I'm saying, anybody, Democrat. You know what I mean? Even though, I mean, it's not going to go through. No, it's not good enough. I mean, it's more shady. It's more shady than the original shit. So you telling me if I get more than a million streams and this person only got five streams, anything I got, you know what I'm saying? So when I get 2 million, I got to split my money for my 2 million streams with this nigga over here with this whack ass shit that ain't got no streams? Come on, dog. I mean, read it. I read it.
Spotify's already.
Like I said, it's like a working artist. I read it. The same way they do the working actors agreement.
Trust me.
Trying to have people, you have people and you got Denzel in a $15 million movie, and then you got JoJo, who just did a movie for Tubi, but they in the same Scream Actors Guild. They got the same coverage.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you my money, nigga, because your shit, you know what I'm saying, only played in five little fucking project houses across the country? Man, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I mean, look, dog. If you're working out
the same craft.
If that bill passes, trust me, you know what I mean? You got such things called lobbyists. So it's probably somebody from Spotify, from, you know what I'm saying, Apple Music and all them, whatever them streaming services is, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, make that shit pass because it's going to work out better for them. You know what I mean? Trust me. I mean, come on, dog. If I get 2 million views and you got 5, you're not getting a dime of my shit, nigga. Fuck that. It don't make no sense. And that's one of the key points in that. They're going to put a cap. They're going to put a 1 million views or whatever, you know what I'm saying, like cap on your shit. Anything over that, you got to split with everybody else that doesn't have a million. Come on, man. That don't make no sense. I mean, that's even worse than not getting your pay for the 50 million views.
Can I chime in real quick, though? I want to be honest about something. If this bill passes, I'm going to be really watching and nervous. I'm going to tell you why. I'm a music promoter, right? Y'all, I seen some comments. What my man said? He said he only got YouTube Premium.
Oh, that's all I got.
I got family accounts on all the streaming platforms. So if you're talking about a 50% increase on the streaming platforms, I might would have a 50% increase on all my streaming accounts, right? And now I got playlists on all these streaming platforms as well. You know, this could be like something where I could have something that has serious value to bring to the table now because your money's doubled and I could charge more. Or it could be some shit where, man, it could be expensive for me to provide this service. Too expensive. You know what I'm saying?
But that's why I said this. They got to go through it with a fine tooth comb. But this is what never happens. Because you have people like him who say, you know, I get what you're saying. You've got a cap over a million. You don't want to pay out everybody. But there are struggling artists with quality material who also need help too. This is what they do for a living. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got to eat.
To me, so, you know what I'm saying? So we got to
figure out a balance. It may not be 2 million and it may not be whatever else, but everybody got to eat. We got to figure out what that looks like. We just got to figure out what that looks like.
And streaming, that just probably ain't it, man. I've been said streaming is just...
It's about to go back to direct to consumer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like Kanye said, though. You know what I mean? Like, So I'm gonna spend all my money in studio time buying beats or whatever and all this stuff, you know what I'm saying, mixing, mastering. And then as soon as I'm finished with my project, I'm gonna just put it on the streaming service. Nobody knows me. For free though.
And like you I mean, said before,
it's for free. So basically what they're doing is they're trying to make a welfare system for the music business. I mean, that's how it sounds to me.
That sounds some like some liberal shit. So, that sounds like some liberal shit.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna do all the work, you know what I'm saying?
But everybody ain't abusing the system.
I'm just saying a lot are though. There's a lot abusing the system.
But you know what I'm saying? Like this right here is like specific.
You know what I'm saying? This is streams on both sides of the aisle, and everybody ain't abusing the system.
I mean,
Mr. J, we got to figure out what a balance is.
I would disagree with you. I would think that
90% of the artists, everybody ain't abusing the system.
I would say 90% of the artists on streaming are abusing the system.
So what do you think Kanye would have to say? You'll say, what do you think? Yeah, what do you think Kanye would have to say that?
That's corporate.
No, unsigned, but not at the level corporate is. No,
not
listen, what I'm saying is
because they've been doing
unsigned artists are.
I'm just saying. So when Kanye dropped his album, he put it on Spotify, Apple Music, and all that shit. If this law passes, that means that you know Kanye gonna get 1 million streams in 10 seconds as soon as he drops some shit. So you mean you think Kanye finna go for I gotta give all these unknown motherfuckers? Like you know what I'm saying, like MC JoJo from goddamn Wisconsin.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't gonna be able to do that.
Man, no, the bill states that anybody that gets 1 million streams, anything over that 1 million streams, you gotta split that money with everybody else that's on the streaming platform.
Everybody ain't Kanye, man. We're talking like most.
I'm just saying, but
the non-Drakes, it
affects all them too. The bill says that anybody that gets over 1 million streams has to split their money with everybody else. That goes for Kanye.
Spotify's already doing that. What are you talking? I told you. What are you talking about?
Spotify's doing that.
Yes, they got the billion dollar.
Spotify has the billion dollar fund where they're taking this.
Let me break it down to you. You got to get over a thousand and one streams to get monetized on Spotify. Now they said the first 1,000 goes to a pool. The first 1,000 goes to a pool. And they whack that money up with artists that they call legit artists. Legit artists. Everybody else they consider a hobby artist. They don't get nothing. Deezer's doing this too. Deezer is calling artists hobby artists and legit artists.
So why would anybody put their music on there if you're not signed in?
There's people removing their music from Deezer and Spotify just because of that shit.
That's crazy. It just, I mean, to me, it's still shady. Like, all across the board, like, the artist still ain't winning.
Mr. J, what did they say?
The artist still ain't winning.
Rule number 10,000 and what, 80? Is that it?
Yep. Yeah, the record. Yeah,
coming to people was shady.
Rule 10,080. So no law can be passed to make it right for anybody. So, I mean, it's
That's the way corporate business has been run forever. It'll run over the average person. And all I'm saying, you got to figure out what's going to look like, man.
I'm just saying, it's 2024. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think you had to go through anybody to get your music to the people. So you can't complain. I mean, to me, you can't complain. If you want to put your shit on Spotify and complain that your shit only getting a 0.00999 point, whatever, that's on you. You know what I mean? Because apparently ain't nobody listening to it anyway. So shit, sell your shit. Direct to consumer.
What a problem is if you're not getting picked up by direct editorials, then, you know, there's a 99% chance you're paying.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Use your money to get your shit out there another way. Because streaming is not doing it. Trust me, streaming is not doing it. Put it on YouTube. I mean, that's where I find all my music. Like I said, I mean, I don't subscribe to no streaming services.
I tell my clients to focus on YouTube and TikTok first and foremost.
None.
YouTube
and TikTok. And that's where I find all my music. Like when I be hearing some background music on TikTok, I click it, you know what I'm saying, see what it is, and then I search it. I'll find it on YouTube, then I save it, add it to my playlist and stuff like that. So
And TikTok is the number one platform where people are actually leaving and going to streaming platforms to find the music.
And it's kind of funny that that bill that, you know what I'm saying, you know they're trying to like get rid of TikTok.
That too.
You know what I'm saying? It's funny that bill just came up though, you know, but that's a whole nother subject. You know, we don't talk politics here.
But I think that might be
that's a whole other side too. That's why I said both sides are trash.
It's kind of funny.
Republicans doing that. Yeah,
it's kind of funny though. You know what I mean? Yeah. No. Joe Biden said that if that bill comes across,
he's behind it too. Yeah, he's behind.
He said he's going to sign it. So that's both of them. It's all money, man. And we don't make them enough money to matter. So you know,
they fucking with my money, man. Because you know, TikTok marketing is what I try to push a lot.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? As long as they don't start fucking with Pornhub and shit like that, I'm good.
They already did in North Carolina.
Yeah. Too late.
Oh, yeah. What? They did in North Carolina. Yeah.
Too late. Oh,
yeah.
North Carolina. Texas,
y'all can't sign Oklahoma. On the Pornhub? Y'all can't get on Pornhub?
Not unless you show your ID or
something. Like shit, nigga. I feel sorry for y'all. You don't see. Hey, look. Hey,
yeah, I don't. Like, what the fuck? I gotta show my ID to watch some porn and shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Y'all can't rub one out on a late night nigga now?
Without showing the ID. That's crazy, man.
Oh, shit.
That is crazy, man. Christopher Porterfield said TikTok's abuse people's data, privacy, and data. I hear you, Christopher, but as a music promoter,
I don't believe that.
I don't really give a shit. I need my clients to pay TikTok influencers.
My thing is this.
Get a shit ton of views and get their music out there.
I don't know the facts.
Let's stay with the facts.
Stay with the facts. You know what I'm saying?
Every social media site abuses it. On some level.
And Facebook is the worst.
AWS.
Thank you.
Facebook is the worst.
AWS, Amazon Web Systems is across 90% of the integrant, 90% of internet and social media. That's their security system. So they should have been, instead of worrying about TikTok, they should be worried about creating privacy laws. They're 30 years behind everything.
Yeah,
Both sides, 30 years behind everything.
An hour and 30, but I never understood this. Like, you ever see musicians that have they're not even famous or not even popping and their account be private like there's somebody. And I'm like, what are you doing? You ain't even made it yet. Like, your shit's private? Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Put your shit public, man. Get the fuck out there.
I mean, well, as far as me, you know, saying, you know,
choosing who follow you,
they got shadow accounts here, there, and everywhere. So they, you know,
you got a couple of crazy baby mamas.
You talking about that Kevin Durant shit, like the burner accounts?
Yeah,
yeah, that Kevin Durant shit.
A lot of.
And I ain't got no time.
Yeah, bumping up numbers and doing this and that, you know.
Yeah, I don't got time to be talking shit from a fake account, man. I ain't got to talk shit from a real account.
I ain't got enough time to be running more than one account. Shit. I can't run the one I got, so.
I got a shit ton, man. That shit ain't easy.
I ain't got enough time.
That shit ain't easy.
Shit, like I said, I only have no time to do my homework on the topics for the week, so shit. Yeah. But, you know what I mean? Everything is all shady.
Baby mama's out of control.
Yeah, that's why my shit. You know what I'm saying? Your boy be fucking with these crazy ass bitches. You know what I'm saying? But to me, everything's shady. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole system ain't built for us to win. So, you know what I'm saying? We can complain or change things. Simple as that.
Gotta change things.
Yeah, go direct to consumer, man. Go direct to consumer. Simple as that. If nobody don't buy it, you know what I'm saying? Like, if ain't nobody buying it, they ain't gonna stream it either. So
That's why you got a network.
Yeah, you got a network. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you gotta do the legwork. You know what I'm saying? You gotta do the groundwork.
Well, the problem is they might not buy it, but they'll stream it because you got rap caviars like the FM radio of the internet. So people will just listen to it just cause. But they're not necessarily going to buy a ticket at the show or buying merch or, you know.
I mean, if I don't know you, I ain't going to buy a ticket or buy no merch. I mean, you know, so people got to do the legwork. That's what we were saying. Like, you got to do the groundwork. Yeah, like, if you really like get out there and push your shit. You know what I'm saying? Because like, if it's out there, they come up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, TikTok is the best place because I've been finding more music on TikTok than any other platform since the internet been out. You know what I'm saying? I've been on Facebook for what? Since the get-go, Instagram and all that stuff like that. But TikTok is where I'm finding my music. And that's crazy. From background, you know what I'm saying? From you know what I'm saying? From them 50-year-old bitches thinking they still got it dancing. I'm hearing that song in the back. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh shit, who's that? I mean, I'm finding all my music off TikTok.
I think that's why I miss, you know, I mean, MySpace. That's we had way more engagement on MySpace than we did anywhere else. Yeah.
Hey, my MySpace, you know what I'm saying? You know your MySpace page is still up. Mine is still up.
Mine's still up, yeah.
Look, man, I got a whole... I got a whole commercial on that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Advertising my shit. Track one. Hell yeah. I miss MySpace. Man, MySpace is my shit. For real.
Two things I miss. MySpace and Audio Life.
Yeah.
Way more fan engagement. Way more... actual followers and engagement with other artists.
Exactly. I mean, man, MySpace, man, was just it was everything all in one. I mean, everything we got to pay for or go to separately was all in one with MySpace. It's still up though. So I mean, so what does that say? So I mean, so do we gotta like go back to our MySpace and like build it back up?
They just got it up probably for the Google ads and the advertising dollars. Man,
it's still up.
But nobody's really using it like that, but rock bands mainly.
Go to MySpace/Trillinoise Tracks. It's still up. Like, I mean, it's amazing to me though. It's funny. It's funny. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, man? I did more work on MySpace than anything after that.
Yeah, man. That's how we got our.
That's crazy.
Message to hip hop. That's how that got done.
That's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Lin Q. With Lin Q and Craig G and MC Search, that's how we got that whole thing.
Man,
I remember that whole song.
I got a DM from Tila Tequila. You remember her, Tila Tequila? Before she,
Yeah.
Hey, if I would have known the importance of the internet then, shit, you know what I'm saying? I might not be here right now talking to y'all peasants. You know what I'm saying? For real. I'm dead ass serious. I mean, but man, MySpace, man, I'm trying to tell you, man, they need to bring MySpace back full.
They can't bring it back.
I mean, man, it's still up though. I mean, why?
Well, what you call it? Tried to buy it. Justin Timberlake tried to buy it. So it was just something for artists. But you know,
When MySpace was out, it was just there wasn't Twitter and Facebook and all. Now you gotta have all this shit. Because if you're trying to get signed to a label, they want to see all that shit.
And that's the fucked up part about it, though. You know what I'm saying? And that's why people spread themselves thin and can't get nowhere. You know what I mean? You should only need one. If I'm a musician, I don't need to be on fucking TikTok, you know what I'm saying, to do a fucking goddamn, you know what I'm saying, viral dance or some shit to get on.
You got to try them all out. You know what I'm saying? Like, the one that works out for you the best, that's the one to probably focus on. Like, our TikTok is really... You know, 30 to 50 followers a day.
I mean, and I fuck with TikTok. Trust me. I mean, I get up in the morning.
End of the month, that's anywhere from like 900 to 1,000, you know, every month.
Yeah. So what you're saying,
doubling, you know, the more you put out content, you know.
So we need to build it up. You know what I'm saying? I need to strip on the, you'll see, you want me to strip on the show? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I do. Hey, I'll strip you. You want to clip it up? We'll clip it up. We can clip it up. No. You know what I'm saying? I strip you. You can clip it up. You know what I'm saying? Get our views up. I'm just saying. I'll do it. Just let me know what I got to do.
All right. We about to wrap it up here. Y'all got some shout outs for me?
Shout out to myself, Trillinoise Tracks. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Black Watch. Shout out to who else? You know what I'm saying, man? You know what I'm saying? Let's shout out to some local people. You know what I'm saying? Barry Williams. You know what I'm saying? With the movies.
Shout out to B-Dub.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be on Tubi tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Watching them. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to Paul. You know what I mean?
Edit.
Shout out to, I don't know, who? No, I'm just trying to figure somebody to shout out. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just to everybody, man. You know what I'm saying, man? Peace, love, and wealth to everybody. You know what I mean? I'm here every Friday and Saturday. You know what I'm saying? I do it because this shit is fun. I ain't got shit else to do either way. But you know what I'm saying? This shit is fun. You know what I mean? If you're going to do something, stick to it. Continue to do it. And it'll grow. You know what I'm saying? You can't half-ass on nothing. So, you know, my advice to everybody is anything that you're doing, you know what I'm saying, put your all into it. Have fun doing it. Like me.
Shout out to BTS, Jaleel Cobb, the Hip Hop and Fashion Awards. I was out there just last week, you know, performing, shouting out the show. And shout out to the We Want All the Smoke podcast. I should be on there, planning to be on there next week. They'll be interviewing me. So, you know, I'll be talking about the podcast, talking about the One Hard to Beat Away album that's out right now, streaming on all platforms, and talking about the Underground Experience documentary, finishing up. Of course, you know, bigging up the Live from Vietnam podcast. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to all y'all, man. Everybody just keep moving, keep pressing.
Hopefully get back in the studio soon. Tune in, definitely. Christopher, Porterfield, Trino, Stranger the Great, Jasmine, Turok.
Stranger.
Shouts out to Rex, man. Very interesting cat, man.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very interesting cat. I think we're going to get some really good clips out of him, especially DJ Premier's, the DJ Premier stuff, you know, and whatnot. It's definitely good to have people on this podcast that definitely work with greats like that, you know. I mean, he's worked with all the greats pretty much and whatnot. And like he said, Big L's the number one punchline rapper of all time, according to Rex and Live from Vietnam. Anything y'all want to say before we go?
Shame on you. You know me, man. Shame on you if you don't know who that is. Shame, hold on. How do you do it? Shame on you. Anyways, yeah, bye. Peace.
All right, we out.
Yeah.
Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.